This is Insecticon Bob. He's doing very well indeed. That's because Insecticon Bob listens to TFYLP weekly. And Insecticon Bob loves Transformers, as does his missus. You can get TFYLP by downloading from iTunes today. Do not listen to TFYLP if instructed to do so by Chuck Norris. Do not place a listening device into the anus as choking may occur. Please contact a physician if an erection for TFYLP lasts longer than 4 hours.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe, robotic warriors.
The Scepter here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us as Weird Wolf, Insane Galvatron, Cyburn 2, God Convoy, Mirai Baby, Natsume Ryu, and Plasticon Reviews discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Welcome back to another Transformers for your listening pleasure. I'm your host, Plasticon, and today I have Swage, Cyburn 2, and Chad with me.
What's up, everybody? Since everybody's being quiet and Cyburn isn't even here,
he will be joining us shortly. He had to go drop his grandmother off at home.
What's up, everyone?
So how's your guys' week, man?
Mine hadn't been too bad. I've been busy, you know, doing that truck driving thing that I do all the time. Been playing in the snow mostly, so nothing like taking 80,000 pounds and sliding around on the roads with it.
Hey, at least people move out of your way.
That's true. They do. And then some people, like probably somebody like Swage, probably would pull right in front of me and like slam on their brakes, which I had happen last night, so...
Oddly enough, your mom doesn't have a brake pedal.
Ouch.
Oh!
Ouch.
Yeah, that's what I said, too. I just flipped her over.
Yeah, we definitely don't have the house mom with us tonight. That is for sure.
Oh, that's okay. He'd be okay with that one. He's seen the videos. He knows what's up.
So, Swage, how was your week?
My week was boring. It was crap. I had no luck with anything. I didn't even see any hookers. And I'm resorting to hanging out with Chad over here. And it's not even a
blowing
satisfying
shit up.
Problem. You know what? Yeah, we are going to blow some shit up. Damn right. You know why?
We can start off with this rare fucking Transformer Prime. Prowl.
You know what you should do? Should eat it. Eat it right now. Shove it right in your cake slot.
No. We're good there. I got enough plastic in my diet, dude. I'm good.
You can never not have enough plastic. I mean, look how much I got.
The range of your disappointing feats, Chad, is immeasurable by any human standard.
Thank you, Swage. Coming from you, that means absolutely shit to me.
I do what I can.
Anyhow,
Dead Air, let's go. We're gonna plug the sponsor, Captured Prey.
Yes,
great
yes.
Toys, great prices, great service. Boom!
CapturedPrey.com.
Go get some stuff. Buy stuff, or buy my stuff too. That would work. But Captured Prey is even better because he has newer stuff for better prices. Yes.
It's very true. For those who are audio listeners, if you go check out our tftalk.net, we actually have a video up that deals with the Capture Prey owner. Came in and did some videos to show off some of the deals he has throughout the holidays, so go check those out.
Yeah, that video was edited by the great Plasticon, who is hosting the show tonight.
Yes, it was. And it took me ages to do that. I was on the phone back and forth with Weird Wolf the entire time. And we ran into a few issues with some of the videoing and such, and some of the audio was kind of jacked toward the end, but we got it fixed and we made it work, and it's getting pretty good responses so far. So,
I actually watched it after you posted it the first time, and was actually rather pleased at how it turned out. It looked good, it sounded good, and I actually thought it was a pretty good idea overall.
Yeah, I talked to Werewolf. He's wanting to do more of that, so here in the future we're going to be collaborating and building up some more stuff like that. And I want to try to talk to a few more of you guys that are on here and see if you guys want to collaborate and build up anything else like that that you want me to edit and throw together and make it look awesome and rock and all that kind of thing. But we're going to go ahead and dip into Ouch My Wallet and get this out of the way. Ouch My Wallet is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Go check them out.
No, you got to say the hook. You got to say the hook.
Great. Great toys, great prices.
Great service.
Yes, there sir. It is. Chad saves the day.
I had a brain blast.
CapturedPrey.com.
So, Swage.
No more awkward
silence. What'd you get?
I'm taking over right now. That's my wallet.
What'd you get?
Check this out. I got one of these from this dude named Faded Lazarus. He's one of the dopest people I have ever bought from on TFW. He gave me some super gangster service. He was like, oh, you want to buy stuff here? I'm going to give you a discount because you'll probably kill me in my sleep. And I didn't even have to say nothing.
Power core stuff is awesome.
Doesn't he realize all you're going to do is come over to his house and crap on his dog?
Hey, don't judge me, bro.
I'm not judging. I'm just telling it like it is. You crap on people's dogs.
Hey, Ouch My Wallet is about to be out your throat, all right?
Okay, hey, man, this ain't... dipping it in Israel. I'm letting you finish.
A little calm.
You're next.
Please calm down. Okay, let's try again. The other item that I was sent from my friend Faded Lazarus, who is known as Chris, to people that he loves, like me, or whatever. I mentioned this on the last podcast that I was hoping to get back, and I got my Jungle Type Mobine. Super crazy sweet. Goes right back with my Chaos Paladin, and because I'm a retard and I couldn't figure out how to get Bomb Shock together in time, I can't show it off. But I did a little work. I just kind of started flipping them around, and there you go. There's Bomb Shock. Actually, I did get something else as well. I got also from Faded Lazarus. I can't plug him enough because dude has been real cool with me on a couple transactions in all seriousness. He gives, like, real cool pricing. Ships fast, ships safe, you know, the whole deal. He gets your feedback in, which has become crazy rare on the boards for some reason. I'm missing, like, 20 feedback from the past month. So I don't know if people just get complacent or lazy or whatever, but he definitely comes through beginning to end on everything. This was the other thing I got was the Nightmorpher Annihilator, which is the, I don't know, the Hearts of Steel. I don't know if this falls under that line, but it's MMC, Mastermind. You know, he's the Black Locomotive, which is pretty sweet. You know, I grew up with, like, Lionel trains and things like that for Christmas. So even better, I get a sweet evil train, and he turns into Optimus or Nemesis. So that's definitely sweet. And he's got pretty wicked artwork. You know, pretty nice. Got a little stat sheet over here. And, you know, just kind of a plain Jane side panel. But definitely got some cool pickups, and I gotta say what's up to my dude Chris Faded Lazarus on TFW, and he's put up a whole bunch of other awesome stuff, and definitely look him up. I mean, he's offered me deals without me even asking, which is pretty weird. You know, he was just kind of like, all right, well, does this work? And I'm like, hell yeah, man, give me that. So definitely got to give a plug to that dude, and he definitely hooked me up. Everything came fast, safe, and sweet. I mean, I don't know what happened to these jungles, but, I mean, these things are crazy hard to find now. So being able to add that with Chaos Paladin has been sweet, super sweet. And hopefully next time I can actually show them off a little bit. So that's what I got for Ouch My Wallet this week.
So, Chad, what do you have?
Well, since the last time I was on the show, I've only gotten a few things. The last time I was on the show was before my birthday. So, I bought, for my birthday, I got the Beast Hunters Prime...
Bulkhead.
Bulkhead. Yeah, that's his dumb name. And then I changed it into... I'm changing it into a Dark Sludge, a kind of a G1 represent or a prime representation of G1 Sludge once it's finished. I also got an Optimus Prime, but he's currently taken apart as well because he's actually going to be Grimlock when I'm done. I also got... this is all for my birthday, too. I got a first edition Starscream from Prime. And he's pretty much in pieces because he's gonna be somebody else. And then I found this guy, the hard-to-find Smokescreen. And I kept him because he's kind of rare right now, so I was going to use him also, but instead I'm going to switch to Wheeljack and use that for Snarl, a darker version of Snarl. But other than that, I don't think I got anything else, man. And I got all my stuff at Meijer. I just wanted to give a shout out to Meijer because, you know... They had all my stuff in stock, and I didn't have to go very far to get it. But that's pretty much it.
I can understand that. I got just a few things this week. Most of it was just stuff that a couple friends of mine actually sent me to the mail. First off, a fellow reviewer by the name of Malfunctioning Eddie. He is hilarious. You guys should go check him out. He sent me a Creon Sharpticon. And I don't have this guy, and I was blown away when I opened the little envelope, and this little dude was in there. And I was like, this is freaking cool. His little helmet is, like, made of, like, rubber, which is really odd, because most of the little Creons don't really have any rubber to them. So I found it really cool. It's silly. It's like, the detail on this thing is just insane. Just nuts. I mean, lots of detail. He's even got, like, silver arms and such, so... Pretty blown away by his little.
Is that the same helmet they used on Megatron?
I
noticed they only
so.
Use about six. There's only about six helmets they use.
Well, that's true. They do only use certain helmets. But I mean, it is kind of cool that you can just swap out the helmet and just put the Sharpticon head on there, and then it's completely different, which makes him kind of looks like Jaws with his eyeballs sticking out of his mouth. It's kind of funny. It does. It seriously looks like freaking Jaws. But I can't complain. This is awesome. And then I also had another friend send me a Generation 1 Slapdash that I need to get 3 bits for. I might end up trying to chase down the guns, but I'm honestly not one of those gurus that's like, oh my god, I got to have every gun to everything. I will eventually, but I'm not going to pay no $20, $30 for a gun. That's just stupid because it's a little chunk of plastic about that long. So
Mega Toy Fan
has
all the parts you need. I've seen him in his junker bin. He actually has all the parts you need for that.
Yeah, I need the spoiler that goes across the front, spoiler that goes on the rear, and then the engine cover. And that's all I need for him, and then he'll be complete.
He has all those parts.
Nice. Well, I'll have to get with him about getting hold of those bits because I don't want to pay some stupid eBay price for them. I really don't.
He doesn't charge very much usually.
Yeah. And Weird Wolf sent me this shirt that I'm wearing, so now I can actually sport the podcast everywhere I go. I've actually had several people ask me about this running around school. For those who don't know, I'm a film student and I go to a media school, so there's a lot of like video gamers and audio gurus and you name it there. It's pretty awesome. It's kind of nice.
Wasn't that supposed to be a giveaway shirt?
Do what?
Wasn't that supposed to be a giveaway shirt?
I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care. I'm supporting the podcast, so it doesn't matter.
I can't remember if he was giving that away or if he was making it available for sale. I'm pretty sure it was for sale, but it's funnier if it was supposed to be a giveaway.
Well, my whole thing is all of us hosts should have one of these. I don't know why we don't. So I'm going to talk to him about that.
Because times are tough, bro. Why are you talking smack?
Times are tough, bro.
Know what I'm saying?
I think it costs... With all the colors on it and stuff, I think it cost him a pretty good chunk of change just to get the three made that he has.
Right.
That he had made.
Swage, I know you're probably not aware, but the actual logo, this whole thing here, a buddy of mine actually designed that. So.
Does your buddy have a name?
Justin. I'm trying to remember what the hell's his last name?
That is not what I expected.
Yeah.
Oh,
my buddy Justin, he's pretty good. I also have another buddy of mine that actually makes logos. His name goes by the name V Decepticon. I don't know if any of you guys know him or not, but
I know that guy.
He's pretty awesome. I do a lot of stuff with him on the side as well. But yeah, we tend to hook each other up all the time with things. It's pretty cool. I mean, that's all I really got this week, other than I'm waiting on Fans Project to pull my freaking Mega Zero out of the damn ocean. What the hell, man?
It's not in the ocean. It's in an unknown website's rainy day stash.
I know, right? It's going to be one of those things that we're going to get on eBay, and all of a sudden you're going to see all these Mega Zeros just show up with all this water damage and half of them corroded.
Yeah, well,
some crazy person's going to jump in the drink and grab them and pull them out.
All right, let me ask you this. How many Glacial Bots are supposed to be released right that are actually supposed to be in the U.S. or to anyone?
Technically right now, because Piog is the only guy that I know of reviewing-wise that has all five. Or not all five, but four of them. He has Tusker, Razor Spike, Fangro, and Tail Club. Mega Zero has yet to hit anybody, so.
Because I've seen, when this was mentioned on the last podcast, I remember someone on TFW, like, well over a month ago, had three for sale. And then I looked through eBay, and I noticed there were guys overseas that had been selling them for a while. And I was like, I thought these were just supposed to be getting to the people within the last couple weeks, and it looked like they'd been on eBay for probably a month or two at least.
Well, the reason being is at a lot of the conventions, they were actually selling some of the sample ones there at a Fans Project table. You can actually go to a con and get the first three. Tusker came out toward the end. So Tusker's really not out there as much as the other two. The other two are pretty common. But as for Tusker, Tusker's a lot harder to acquire. But I'm like, where the hell are these other two? I mean, you guys can at least ship those two out because I know people have them. I'm seeing slight little reviews come up here and there, so I know they're getting in people's hands, so where am I to? Because I know I paid for them. I paid for all of them. Give me my stuff, people.
All right, so let's give a welcome to Granny Totin Michael over here. What's happening, man? How's Grams? She good?
She's home and safe, yeah.
Home and safe? Did you open the door at each and every opportunity for Grams?
I ain't that much of a gentleman.
Oh. Did you give Grams a kiss on the mouth for me?
No.
Fair enough.
So, Sideburn, what did you get this week?
Well, I bought something, but it's not here yet. It'll come next week.
Uh-oh, what is it?
What is it? It's something I've wanted for a long time. Other than that, I don't know, I got a few video game things. I got some Minecraft figurines, yeah.
Well, those are cool. Where'd you get those at?
I found them at Walmart. They're like $8.67 a piece.
Are they like crazy posable or anything like that?
They're about as posable as they are in-game.
5-point articulation?
Yeah.
Nice.
But
I kind of dig that. That's something I liked about the Star Wars, those newer Star Wars figures they had to come out. They're kind of cut to be almost like the old ones from like the 70s with 5-point articulation. That's kind of neat. Yeah. I like that kind of throwback.
that's it for me so far. I started my internship, and most of my money the first 2 weeks went to clothing, because I needed stuff to work in. So, I finally bought a Transformer. It'll be here next week. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, since you weren't here, and I know you'll gush about this, Creon Sharkticon?
Ah, oh, nice.
Awesome stuff. I'm actually kind of curious to see what Hasbro is going to be doing with the future lines. This goes into our topic for today. Let's close out the Ouch My Wallet. Ouch My Wallet was brought to you by CatcherPrey.com. Great toys, great service, great prices, CatcherPrey.com. So going into what we are going to be talking about today, dealing with pretty much the transition changes throughout Hasbro throughout the years, dealing with certain people being let go. Some people are curious when they're actually going to start seeing these newer toy designs. I personally think we're starting to see a little bit of it with that that shell former Optimus for the movieverse, but what do you guys think? Go ahead, Switch.
I think.
Oh, go ahead, Cyber.
No. Go ahead, Chad. Go ahead, Chad.
Oh, Chad.
With your yellow shirt.
Big yellow shirt, yeah. I think it's going to be a couple years, just because I don't think that the person that took over has had enough time in production run in order to get toys out there yet. With Aaron leaving early in the year this year, I would say late 2014, early 2015, we won't see anything until then. That's just my guess.
So what do
you expecting to see out of it? Like, do you expect anything different?
I actually do. I think you'll see, a change from probably the sharp edges. It depends on what era they came up in. You know, you're going to see whatever they came up in their designs. So, at least at first, because they're going to resort back to something they know versus something brand new, if that makes sense.
Nothing you say ever makes sense.
Well, I know, but I was hoping maybe if anybody swayed, you'd be able to figure it out.
You know what? I have figured it out, and that doesn't mean I have to share, but I'll take my turn. I'll take my turn, bruh.
We're out of here.
Bruh.
Yeah, I think just looking through like the past couple years, because I didn't really start until like 2005, 2006 to really, like, I didn't even know, the line had carried on for so long. But basically, I've actually seen some pretty drastic changes as far as, I started with the Cybertron trilogy is what was in stores when I learned that Transformers were still being produced. And, I mean, just the jump they made from that line to the classic series and universe, I mean, was a whole different game. I mean, we're talking with the AEC, everything was real jagged edge. Looking at Galvatron, Soundwave, then the Universe line, you got Blaster, which is just a repaint. Very angular, larger dimensions. You know, that Galvatron is gigantic, and we had Primus, we had Unicron, we had another Unicron. But everything was pointy. Even the rounded, the shoulder mounts, the cone horns on Unicron, very pointy for a Transformer at that time. And basically, I mean, ever since G1, you never really saw pointed ends on toys like that. And then switching over to the Chug, you got, they just copied themselves a lot on that. And it went back to more round, still, some angular dimensions, but, none of that pointy stuff. And we've seen a little bit of that come back with Prime and the Beast Hunters. You know, they have the Unicron that actually does have some more of the horns. I don't even know what you want to call them, like the rock branches that go out, and they're actually a little bit pointy. the Jet Viacon as well. So it kind of looks like they're trying to utilize some of the same aspects in that regard in some toys, but because Beast Hunters has been so limited, it's hard to, for me, you know, it's hard to predict really where they're going to go. It kind of seems like they're trying to combine Generations with Prime and some of the older ideas. You know, you look at the Viacon, you look at Jet Viacon, and then the newer Generations are comic-based. So everything is starting to get more angular without the sharp edges. And it's a little bit of a contrast from the movie toys, whereas they were more replica-based, which is sort of G1-ish, but obviously the execution with the movie toys is completely different. So, you know, you have a big giant jet that looks just like a jet. You get a sports car that looks just like a sports car. But then, when it turns into a robot, it turns into a whole different creature. Whereas in G1, you knew exactly what it was going to look like, and it was blocky. So I think with the new stuff, they may try to stick more with where they're kind of going with the War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron, and the IDW lines, because, I mean, basically, those lines are awesome. I mean, all the deluxes are pretty slick. There's some issues with the Voyagers, but the deluxes, I mean, most of those are pretty close to home runs as far as, you know, a $10 toy. They're, you know, the designs are good, they look good, the paint's good, and there isn't the need to go out and get the Takara as much as before, whereas, you know, sometimes at Hasbro, it seems like lately they've been actually putting chrome on the American releases before the overseas. So I think maybe they might be trying to meld some of that together and, you know, try to utilize what they can for the market and stick to the formula they're with. I'm not sure we're going to see anything too drastic in any of those areas, personally, because it seems to be working in some regards. You know, you see some reports where they're losing money here and there, but general fan reaction to the IDW and everything has been, it seems to be pretty outstanding. So I think, I'm pretty sure we'll probably see a nice continuation of that. But on the other hand, you know, they could just flip script and just go totally insane and, you know, flip over to the anime style Cybertron type molds where it's all pointy and jagged and totally futuristic looking. So I don't know, my money is that IDW style is going to continue pretty well and they're going to try to incorporate that in as much as they can.
Yeah, I can completely agree with that. I mean, you think about all the like getting Rhinox and Waspinator, and now Rat Trap. You can see a lot of the Beast Wars and maybe Beast Machines in the future being pulled into the same Generations line, because there's a lot of people out there that really just, they want homages to something that they're familiar with, and that's what they want, and that's what's going to sell.
I want a gosh dang Pterosaur.
I don't blame you. That'd be cool. Yeah, they need to like come out with like more, you know, more modern aesthetics of those, because a lot of those Beast Wars were pretty cool in the way they were, but with today's engineering being involved with some of that stuff, you can get rid of some ideas where, say, a ball joint just didn't work out. If they would put like a universal type of socket in there, it would make it much better. I would like to see, you know, a little bit of change in some of the design overall. Like, get away from ball sockets and go kind of back to where, you know, like the Unicron's, like the entire Unicron trilogy, most of those never had ball sockets. Everything was like a union joint or something like that, so you never have to worry about popping off. I think they need to kind of skew back to that direction. Ball joints are cool, but I kind of like to see them kind of mix them a little bit and get rid of some of them. What about you, Cyburn? What do you think?
I'm going to echo most of the sentiments that have been said. I don't think they're going to change much. For the mainstream lines, you know, we're probably still going to get the oversimplification. Well, depending on who you ask, the oversimplification of the figures, for, you know, make them easier for the kids to play with. I don't see the Generations line changing too much. We might have to go through a growing phase where figure design gets subpar. sort of like when in the Prime line and with Prime RID, when they downsized, it took them a while to get used to that new size scale. And, you know, we got some turds So we'll probably have a phase where, you know, stuff they design just, you know, might be a little subpar, but eventually I think we'll still keep getting what we're getting, and you know, we'll see. I don't know how much, you know, it comes to how much they've had influence already and how much of what we have right now is still leftovers from the old team.
It's very true. I mean, it usually takes like a good 2 to 3 years for some of that stuff just to kind of start fading away, and then eventually in about 5, it's just like non-existent. But designs like that tend to kind of float around because you got new people to come in with new eyes and they're like, oh, this is a cool design. Well, what if we just change this, this, and this and just make it work? And then they do that. And, you know, I kind of think, you know, when they designed like Prime Arachnid, there's a lot of bits in there that, you know, you can tell that they mixed engineering that should have probably been there in the first place. So that's why that toy, I think, it turned out so horrible. So I'm kind of curious to see if maybe I would love to see, like, what they would do with that and, like, you know, an IDW or something like that. Give us an Arachnid that's actually pretty badass, you know.
My problem with Arachnid existing is they won't let Black Arachnid exist at the same time. And Black Arachnid gets my vote 100% of the time.
Right.
Amen.
Well, it'd be kind of interesting to see him maybe do that, and then maybe Takara releases like a different one, kind of like what they did with Air Raid. Like, Takara's Air Raid is a complete different color scheme than the American one, so pretty interesting. I mean, if you just change the colors of something, it makes it even more dynamic. I'm really into, like, I actually like recolors. There's a lot of people out there that complain about them. I really don't have an issue with recolors. I've got that Bumblebee mold from RID and, like, all three colors of, you know, the normal one, then the shadow one, and then I've got the Hot Shot, and I like them. I think they're
cool. I need to get the shadow one because he was in the show like that, but I don't know. I've sort of decided I'm probably not going to finish my Prime shelf.
Yeah, there's a couple I need to get. I need to get, like, a breakdown. And I thought about maybe getting the first edition Bulkhead, but I'm not really, like, that hell-bent on getting it. I'd love to get hold of more Arms Micron, because I got hold of the Arms Micron version of Ironhide, which is, for our listeners that don't know, that's the cup mold that's done in red, and it comes with a little cannon guy that turns into a robot, which is an homage to Target Masters. And I just think it's awesome. It's a really cool, solid robot. But if you mistransform the two, you can, like, do, like, a slight modification in their transformation, so you can have it stand side by side and look like two different robots, which is kind of cool.
You said that's an Arms Micron Ironhide?
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear that right? Wow, yeah. I don't even remember seeing that.
Well, that's because... Really?
Yeah, he's...
Because, I mean, that mold, the Sergeant Cup mold, was designed as Ironhide. And then some, you know, moron at Hasbro decided to make it Sergeant Cup because there was already an Ironhide at the Commander scale.
Right.
There he is.
And so Takara did it right and actually released him as Ironhide.
See, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, the color scheme is pretty
sick.
Yeah,
that's why I asked. And the truck mold. I had the Cyberverse one, but I didn't know they made a deluxe size in any line.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm one of those kind of guys that I'll look all over the internet and try to see what variants they're going to have coming out. And that's why I kind of waited on that Skywarp, because I was like, I just about ordered the Takara version, and then I found out they're going to release it here to the States, so I said, screw that, and I'll wait, because I saw the two colors, the two color variants next to each other. The one from Japan is, like, almost a lavender color. It's not dark purple like Skywarp should be. So
theirs is really weird.
It's very odd-looking, but the one they're going to release here in the States is going to look pretty sweet. I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Yeah, I definitely want to get it. I just... I'm kind of, I don't know how to put it. I'm not upset, but I haven't found another Thundercracker since the first time I found a Thundercracker, and it's like, crap. It seems like every time I start the Seekers, I always finish with two of the three.
I got you, dude. You should have told me.
I've got one, dude. I got an extra one.
No, right no. Ball. I got one first. I got one first. Back up.
You got an extra one? Okay.
I have the Hasbro one. Actually, that's a great segue. Check this out, because I was supposed to drop some super crazy deal plates on that ass last week. So I'm going to do it right now. Check this out. All right here. I got a Salter. This one is open. He's complete. Fantastic condition. Anybody listening right now, you can either message on Twitter or go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/reeledrobot. Reeled, R-E-E-L-E-D, robot. Or hit me up on Twitter and give me some info, or on TFW. I'm doing him for $90 shipped. And then the sealed one, because I said I was going to do two to make up for missing last time, because my computer got Skynetted like crazy. I got these bad boys, the Fans Project, Deluxe Insecticons, the Armored Battalion version. These are sealed, brand new, $100 shipped in the U.S. So hopefully, I'm not seeing a whole lot of interaction right now, but write in, do something on Twitter, get on the Facebook, whatever, and I'll get you taken care of. I'll have that shipped out Monday if I can get a deal done. If I can't get back to you while the show's on, get back to you this weekend and get paid up and we're good to go. So that's my little self-plug for the night. But yeah, I got Assaulter and the Insecticons. The Assaulter's open. The Insecticons are brand stankin' new, still sealed. Box is nice. $100. The retail on that is, I think, $160 right now. And Assaulter's eBaying for $120 to $160 any day of the week. So hit me up, dude. Don't make me come and give your mom an inappropriate hug, and then take your lunch money. So whatever. And for anybody on the downloaded version, sucks to be you. Should have planned better. Should have got with the game. Should have been all up in this. That's right. I even stopped. You hear me, Duran? I stopped for you. You, baby.
Self-editing.
No, never again.
Yeah, speaking of Weird Wolf, I think he caught a bit of that. What is it, that rust disease that all the Transformers can get?
He got a...
Was it that the cosmic rust? That's what it is. He's got cosmic rust.
Cosmic rust.
Poor bastard.
On his genitals.
Somebody throw him the Calamine.
That's the best place to put him. What are you talking about? So, anybody else drunk yet?
No.
Nope. Just you.
Just me. I'm trying. What about you, Sideburn? Hanging out with Grams? She give you a little shot of something? A little something?
I wouldn't say no. Hanging out with Grams. I came.
Dude, if you need help with Grams, you let me know. I will chill with your Grams all day, all night. You can call me Gram Paps. Big Daddy Pappy. Nothing. He's got nothing. Look at that. Stonewalled. What's the next subject?
So hey, you guys going to put any money down on that?
You give me toys for Christmas, I ain't going to complain.
I'm going to look out one
girl. You can be my grandpa.
No, it's Grandpappy, dude.
Grandpappy, fine.
Okay, now you might have got a candle on your birthday cake. Thank you.
So you guys going to put any money down on that non-transforming Scorponok?
No.
You guys hear about that thing? It's like $500.
It's definitely insane. No.
The detail looks good, but it's junk.
I mean, it's cool. It's a detailed, gigantic one that scales with your Fort Max, but I mean, for God's sake, if I'm going to be dumping that kind of money, I think I'll buy jumbos before that, so... And if you guys don't know what jumbos are, that's those Shogun Warriors and such, because those things are awesome, too.
You guys want to see some jumbos?
No. No, you can keep that put away.
I was just going to have Chad pull his shirt up, but whatever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the first time Swage asked me to do that.
That's because I had to autograph him last time.
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah, personally, I'm not ponying down money like that. I actually, that reminds me that I saw that crazy, like, $4 billion Optimus Prime statue thing somewhere. And it was, crazy money. And they're like, oh, we slashed off X percentage of this crazy thing that's way overpriced and don't do crap. I don't know, man. A Scorponok, for that kind of loot, like, it better be way bigger than that. Like, it should be, like, 4 foot tall and greet people at your doorstep.
It has to at least walk up and shake hands with him. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a little Zupa for like $100 and it'll vacuum your floor. I mean, $500 Scorponok that don't do crap. I'm sure there's a market for it, but crap, man, that's a lot of money for a statue that you can't put anywhere.
Right.
Can you imagine trying to put that like in a Detolf? I mean, it's going to take up a whole shelf. You can't do anything. You can't put it on the top. It's probably going to weigh like 30 pounds.
That's very true. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. I can see, the guys out there, and they drop like $500 on, Hercules and all these third-party combiners, and then they come out with this statue that, I mean, I know it moves, but, I mean, how much articulation are we talking? You know, for that much money, that thing better be able to reach around and scratch its back, seriously. But
yeah, for me, I mean, that's, like, Hercules, I mean, that's crazy money, but, I mean, he's gigantic. It is a big, gigantic, each piece transforms, nice detail, devastator.
Right.
I mean, that's under, I can understand that. I mean, these are wonderfully engineered. They're not perfect, but, I mean, for a devastator, for $500, $600, whatever you spend, I mean, if you can spend that loot, it's actually worth it because it does every single thing a transformer was ever meant to do. It is supposed to, it transforms. It looks like something real, and it's ungodly big. Like, that thing is bigger than children. Probably worth more.
It's huge. It's pretty big.
You know, a statue is cool, especially because, there's a lot of people, and I'm guilty of it, that, I put something in one mode, and I'm straight. Like, I just leave it on the shelf, and I don't, I'm not trying to mess with it. But I ain't paying $500 for that, I mean, like, if I'm paying that kind of money, it's like a, $20 to $80 toy. You know, like this Mobine armor I got, it didn't come cheap, but I can turn it into stuff. And even though I don't like to put wear on joints and things like that, if I want to change them up, I can do that. I can put them on a different figure. I can do all these other things or, any other number of figures that you can actually transform for so much cheaper. And, they might not be 2 feet tall, but they actually equate better for the price point. Whereas you spend $500, on a big-ass paperweight. It's a sweet paperweight, but that's basically all it's really going to come down to.
Right. I mean, I can see this going toward the people that do collect, like, the jumbos and the larger robots, and all they do are collect, like, large ones and, like, oh, that's cool. I can put that next to, maybe some mock-up version of, like, like Voltron or something like that. I can see him probably doing something like that. But honestly, you think about the way Scorponok actually transforms, it's an extreme simple transformation. It's like the easiest thing ever. So it's like, why couldn't they have integrated that simple transformation into that size? It would have been interesting to see that, but they completely missed the mark. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's too much money for what it is. It's cool, but no. For that amount of money, no.
If you pay attention to the market now, anything, once it hits like $200 or $300, it's dead in the water. I mean, most things that, like Warbitron is getting a lot of hype, but so did Hercules. I mean, Green Giant is really the only thing more than $300 in value that will consistently be bought. I mean, Hercules, you can find anywhere from $350 to $700 listed, but the prices that sell, they don't hit. They just don't hit. And, I mean, once you hit that 200 mark unless it's like super vintage rare, like you got to really, really have a product that stands out. And I mean, that's why a lot of people are falling off with, you know, the bunch of Predakings that have come out and things like that. It's just, it's too hard to keep up with that, man. Like, I mean, for the average collector, $500 for one thing is like a year's worth of toys. So, I mean, hopefully they, you know, on their end, they kept it to limited numbers. You know, maybe make like 100 or 200, because, you know, there's plenty of collectors that would be after that for that number. But, I mean, if they run off like 10, 20 grand of them, that might be real tough to come by.
Right. I mean, it's like the third-party Overlord. They got that thing coming out, and that's cool. But for the same price for that Overlord, I can take that same amount of money and go buy the vintage one that I want that will complete my collection. Most people are going to do that unless they already own an Overlord. That's just how I see it. And most people aren't going to drop, you know, that thing's like $450, isn't it? It's somewhere close to that. It's some silly amount of money. It's huge. It's a gigantic freaking robot, but it's like, for that amount of money, I can go buy the, you know, the G1 and slap it on my collection. Okay, cool. Then later on, buy it in the aftermarket when, you know, people are getting rid of them because nobody wants it anymore. Because that's the problem with a lot of third parties. Huh?
A couple months ago, there was a guy or a company that was coming out with a large Unicron head. I can't remember who it was or whatever, but that thing fell by the wayside because they figured out it wasn't going to, it's just not going to sell. You know, they showed pictures of it, and I don't think it received that great a hype or as much hype as they wanted it to. And it just fell by the wayside. It's because it's so big and it doesn't do anything. It's not meant to do anything besides sit there, and you can have your other toys around it. You know, so I think it's just like Swage said. If, you know, you go over $200-$300 and it's done. It's a done deal. No one's going to buy it. They just don't have the money to waste anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I've seen that has done what looks like it's doing well is that the Planet X Omega. But even that, I mean, that was a, it seems to be a pretty limited run. I mean, you're talking $355, and it's barely bigger than the Platinum Edition. So you save $255 to get one almost exactly the same. I mean, you're not going to put Omega as a battleship. And if you do, you don't want to spend $355 for it. Because, you know, you break one more thing, it's worthless.
I would spend $355 before I bought that piece of junk, waste of space, Energon retool.
Really?
Yes.
You would spend $255 more for,
yes,
something?
Yes, because you can't just retool Energon Omega Supreme and call it War for Cybertron Omega Supreme. Doesn't work for me. I don't like it.
But they didn't. Well, they didn't market it as War for Cybertron. They just marked it Platinum.
Well,
they, I mean,
that's very, I think it, I believe small. It does say on its box War for Cybertron.
Right.
I don't remember if it does for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like the size and the articulation on Planet X, is it that drastic that you will pay almost four times as much, and it looks almost identical?
I myself
wouldn't pay that much for it, but if I was going to get one, I would pay that much for it.
Here, hold on. Hold on a second. Let me grab one off the shelf.
Awesome, but, you know, I don't have...
My whole thing is, I like the Planet X thing, because to me, it would, like, scale just fine with all my War for Cybertron, and that's all I really want, was an Omega that would fit in. But as for that Energon one, I was never impressed with that thing. Even if you could plug... You know, it doesn't work for me. It just doesn't, because it's inferior to what Omega Supreme's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a base. And it's cool that you can fan mode the thing, and then there was some third-party company out there. I don't know whatever happened, but they were building some upgrade kit or something like that to allow you to make it better. That
here's
might
the,
sell it.
Here's the thing. This is not complete. Supposedly, and this is from a pretty reputable source, this third-party Planet X, it's not complete. They actually had more stuff that was supposed to go with it, but they couldn't fit it all in at the price point they wanted to sell it at.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
There you go. I did that for Duran, because I know he would love it.
The but it's supposed to have an upgrade kit at some point from Planet X, and it'll have the rest of the track that goes with it, and the bass mode that is supposedly a fan thing. It's not a fan thing. That's actually a real mode. It's just somebody figured it out before they came out with the edition.
Well, yeah, I can see that, them doing that because, I mean... Look,
just like with Hercules, they released the Rage set, and it's kind of like... It almost wiped out a lot of the market because people were pissed. They're like, I just spent $500 or $600... and I have to buy more for it to be right?
That's, you know, just, I mean, there's just a lot like of people there,
especially because the Rage kit, I mean, that thing goes for $150 to $200 now if you can actually find it. And it's like, I mean, you're talking $700 for one thing. I mean, that is like, that's just crazy money for something that's not really rare and not even vintage, man. That's just like, they should have done that. You know, they should have had that taken care of for $355. That should have been taken care of beforehand. And I mean, I know they probably had to recoup some production costs or whatever, but man, that's a hard thing for consumers to swallow, especially, you know, with so much stuff coming out at once now.
Right. I mean, it's like, think about this. How many Transformers, like, recently, other than the Masterpiece that you see is being released that actually has rubber tires? They're not going for longevity anymore. I mean, they want it to last however long the hype is, and then after that, it's gone. You know,
well, but rubber tires on the...
Rubber tires tend to crack, I know.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, like, just like, you know, if you look, even if you dig around in a junk bin, 90% of the time, and I mean, this is nothing against Beast Wars stuff, but most of the time, you got bits that pop off those. Generation 1 normally stays completely together. Same thing with your Armada and stuff. They normally
except
do.
Except for all the kibble.
Yeah.
In the bin.
But there's a few of them that do that, you know, but... Then you go into the third-party realm, and the third-party realm's got so many things that are tabbed on, and it's like, what happens if you lose one piece? This thing 10 years down the road isn't going to be worth half the amount of money because it's missing this one piece that you're never going to be able to get, like not even like a reproduction bit. I mean, because you can't just go in and find like a vintage one to slap it on there because it's a, you know, a one-off run or whatever. And that's the bad thing about a lot of third-party stuff. Most people don't think, oh, it's cool, it's awesome, it's hip for now. But think about 20 years down the line. Who's really going to remember all the third-party stuff versus the official stuff? You know, nothing against third-party. I like third-party.
And then all the people who have forgotten anything about third-party are going to be selling it, and people are going to be buying it thinking it's vintage, and then there's going to be confusion, and everyone's going to hate everyone. And
exactly. And I'm really wishing there would be somebody out there that would produce, like, a book. Not a freaking digital book, but, like, a physical book that you can buy that has all the third-party stuff that's been released all the way up to maybe, like, this year or whatever. Would be awesome for somebody to do, like, an almanac with all that in there. So that way, you actually have, like, a reference guide you can go to later on down the road and be able to, like, oh, this guy's supposed to have this, this, and this. And you go on eBay or something like that, and somebody's selling something, and it looks like there's a part missing, and you don't know for sure. You can go to your book and be like, oh, I'm not buying that. I'm missing this. Or you look around on eBay, and you find the bit or whatever shopping thing you're going to use. It'd be nice if they would do that, because, I mean, they do that with Generation 1. I'm pretty sure here in the future we're going to see stuff for Beast Wars and everything else. It's going to come around. People are going to start doing almanacs for these things, so that way people can get a hold of the parts.
Yeah. Another thing that would be helpful is if manufacturers would actually have a page dedicated to showing each removable part. I mean, that would just eliminate so much confusion. And of course, you know, that's not their goal, to help the aftermarket. But, you know, that used to be a big thing with toys is, you know, you had a page that was dedicated, just like if you bought a shelf, it showed you every single thing that came in that box. Every screw, every nut, every bolt, every dowel, every shelf. You know, and that would just be kind of cool because, I mean, that would, especially, I mean, with everything now, most people are doing that in their free time. And, you know, that's definitely an inevitable solution. I mean, you know, it's hard to go on eBay and trust the guy that says it's complete. Or, you know, even people that say it's complete, you know, if you look around enough, something's missing, you got to contact them, blah, 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 blah. But definitely, that is a fantastic idea, and hopefully we can get some help from manufacturers in the regard that they'll show each missile, they'll show each, you know, anything that's supposed to come off. You know, I know a lot of the Cybertron, getting back to those, you know, the Armada, Energon, Cybertron, they have a lot of random pieces that just flop around, or they were in the box somewhere, or in a baggie, and in the instructions you might see one of those pieces, or you might see one but not the other in a picture, you know, and hopefully, you know, third parties will get hit to that, and they'll be like, look, this is what you're supposed to have, this is what it's supposed to have all the time, you know, and yada, yada, yada. Like, even with some of the stuff where they include extras, you know, like the one run of the Insecticons from Fans Project, you know, some versions had an extra set of XYZ. You know, that should be included somewhere. Someone needs to have, you know, some sort of database work and say, if it's a first run, it'll only have this, or it'll be a second run, and it'll be, these should be included, but if they're not, it should still have this, that, and the other. So I definitely like that idea. I mean, that's a tough task, but it'd be sweet to see happen.
Right, because, I mean, I know for a fact there's some crazy collector out there that literally buys everything on the market, and most of them are guys that are loaded. Doesn't matter how much money they have, but, I mean, it's like, look, if they can afford every single solitary Transformer that comes out, there might be somebody out there that's literally that nuts that has everything, including all third party. And those are the kind of people that need to archive this stuff and put it, and take that effort of having this badass collection and put it down in either photo or whatever, put the stuff in an almanac and create an almanac and sell it, because that is a good, that's a good point. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not doing any copyright infringement or anything. You're creating an almanac. You're creating something from pretty much nothing, because most people, even our parents don't even know what the hell comes with half of these, you know? You ask mom and dad, oh, want me an Optimus Prime, and they bring you an Optimus Prime, and they buy you like a Generation 1, they bring it to you, and it's missing like the fists or something, and they don't know that. They have no idea. And that's part of the problem, you know, with a lot of these kids now that are growing up, you know, a lot of them are, you know, Beast Wars and such, and they remember, oh, I remember I had Dinobot, and it's supposed to have this sword that's tucked in his tail. Well, you don't know it does that unless you open the tail and find out whether the sword's even in there. Right. So there's a lot of things like that that are missing, and it's the same thing with the third-party stuff. There should be somebody out there archiving this stuff, and if Hasbro is too lazy to produce their own thing, which this would sell, I'm sorry, but I don't care who they are, everybody would buy something if Hasbro was like, oh, look, we're just going to release an entire like Bible for Transformers, and be like, this freaking thick, it's got everything in it. Somebody would buy it. Somebody
Just like with the Covenant of Prime, you know, I mean, that's... It's a big resource, you know. It's cool, and it's filled with artwork. That's a huge, huge opportunity for them to do that. And I know, I think I've actually seen them start to put up repro instructions online, like so for some of the more recent lines, like, you know, the War for Cybertron Generations. Mm-hmm. You know, you can look up the instructions and stuff, but, I mean, that could be hugely marketed. I mean, it's not like they don't have the info. And obviously any other designers know exactly what they made at some point.
Right. So. I mean, that goes into what we were talking about earlier with, like, just the changes in designs. The designs change throughout the years. Well, those designers have, like, they've signed and autographed all this stuff away. So Hasbro, Takara, Fans Project, all these guys that they hired that are artists, their names are on that stuff already. So that's a good way to market their name as well. So why aren't the artists saying, hey, why don't you guys redo this and just put an archive out, and that puts my artwork out there and gets you guys more recognition? And it's a good way of doing it. Like, every single solitary third party out there honestly could go through their whole archive, because I know most of it's probably on a computer database somewhere, be like, oh, we did this, 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 this. Okay, cool. We got, like, schematics for everything. Print that crap out and turn it into an archive and sell it, and you would make money left and right. It would
even a digital copy, because that would cost them literally next to nothing compared to normal costs for actual production of binded materials.
Right. They can easily market that crap on iTunes. People would buy, like, you know, buy a freaking book for like $10 off of there that's nothing but like an archive page thing. And it's cool. And most people, you know, nowadays, you know, everybody's got, like, iPhones and iPads and all this stuff, so that way they can just flip through, like, because they'd be, like, in a store or something like that, going to, like, a comic shop, and they see, you know, say, Generation 2 Sideswipe standing right there, and they don't know exactly what goes with him, so they flip through their archive, like, oh, here it is. I see people do that crap at cons all the time. They'll come in with, like, a notebook, and all this stuff written down in there of what robot's supposed to have what. And
yeah, I've done that
literally
myself.
Looking for pieces, you know, and it's like, that's the whole point of conventions, and most people won't get that. I think it's awesome because you want people to come to conventions that want to pay attention to, like, oh, I'm here to find the missile pack that goes to Generation 1 Swoop, and I need those missiles. And you go from vendor to vendor to vendor to vendor, and then you eventually find the guy that actually has them, or you know somebody that can get hold of them for him. And so they exchange, like, emails and stuff. And that's great and all for networking, but, oh, my God, it is a nightmare for anybody that's a major collector because they're trying to get every little teeny tiny nook and cranny that goes to something. And it's like, you can't find it. Build a freaking archive, and it makes it a lot easier than everybody would know about it.
Hey, Plasticon, have you ever heard of the Trans Manual?
Yes.
Okay, I was about to say, because that's exactly what they need. Is a Trans Manual for third party, and I know the Trans Manuals went further than 1990. I used to have all of them. I don't know where. I've got 84 through 1990. I've got the first two now.
But, right. I have a couple collection guys. One of them is for all the Japanese release stuff, and one of them's for all the American release stuff. So I got two different ones.
Are they the official guides, or are they actually the unofficial recognition guides? Or
they're unofficials.
Unofficial recognition guides? Yeah, I was kind of curious. They've because these are unofficial, and then they got the unofficial recognition guides, which actually has like seven. I think they go through seven or eight series before those guys quit. So even most of the current stuff does not have recognition guides where you can tell the parts themselves. So, but these Trans Manuals, I actually know one of the guys that did these, and he's pretty much got the museum. Yeah, I used to have the one on it'd be on your right.
Okay. Yeah, both of these are wonderful. I mean, this one here, I find myself digging through this one more than this one because this one I've gotten to the point that it's like I literally almost have all the major G1 and G2 stuff out of it. That's why I'm like so fluid with the stuff because I literally look everywhere. I even look for prototypes, and it's really difficult. And the thing is like there's so many guides like this, and they're not even that thick, and it's like, come on, Hasbro and Takara. Just team up and release like a Bible and release it, and it might be this thick. And you know what? We don't care if it's that thick because we want it. We need it.
I care if it's that thick. What do you think, Chad?
If it's archived, you wouldn't.
Thicker right the better, middle, brother. All your thicker cassettes. The better.
No lube. A crap.
No lube.
Take it all. You take it all right now. Sideburn, thoughts on thickness? Are you all toned?
Sideburn, I think Sideburn's out of his element, man. He's used to having Durin here and talking to Durin with just him and Durin on the show mostly, because they're the ones that do most of the episodes lately.
I'm getting sleepy.
Okay. All right, come on, talk, bro. Let's hear about other stuff besides
Let's hear about your stuff. What's your thoughts on all this?
No, like, what was your grandmother wearing? I'm interested. I can't remember.
Oh, man.
Come on. Like a coat and some stilettos? Or,
I assume she was wearing clothes.
What kind of clothes?
Pay much attention.
Man, Swage, you can't be making fun of Gammy now. He's gonna hurt you.
I'm interested. I want to know that Grams is doing well and is dressed appropriately for the weather.
It's Florida, so the weather is kind of chilly, but not really.
So, you know, her nipples weren't too hard, just maybe a little bit.
I was waiting on that.
Did you go to give her a hug and like she kind of accidentally like poke you in the eye a little bit if you got too close?
I'm like 3 feet taller than my grandma to start with.
And my nipples go everywhere, dude. You can't lie.
This is getting inappropriate.
Of course. Okay, so other than your...
We got to get that NC-17 rating, right?
My thoughts on books full of pictures of Transformers, I mean, that would be fine. I wouldn't buy it.
Why not?
The internet's for.
Well, that's another problem. I mean, think about it. You go to TF Wiki. TF Wiki doesn't have anything about the breakdown of all the bits that go to one of these. They don't. The only thing is, I mean, you jump on like TFW 2005, you can find some pictures and stuff like that, but literally, I have yet to find a website that has an archive of every single solitary Transformer that's ever been released and a parts breakdown for all of it.
Cybertron's is close.
That's what I was hoping to do with cassettes. I mean, it's not.
Nobody's really done it. Like, nobody's done it, like, thoroughly. Like, literally did it, and then next to it's got, like, literally the entire history. Right next to the real toy, right next to maybe like an image. Yeah, they have that kind of stuff on TF Wiki, but there's not a parts breakdown of what's what and what the variants are.
What you're talking about, all someone would need to do is basically take a picture of the box, open it, and just take a picture of the tray, and that's it. Like, you might need 3-4 pictures to catalog the entirety of one third-party figure.
Exactly.
You know, you take a picture of the box, pull it out with the blister, and then take everything out and lay it all down, and, you know, you don't need a whole lot of equipment for that.
But there is one thing you need. Make sure, if whoever's going to do this, if they are listening, if you're going to do it the right way. Don't get some crappy-ass camera. Get some real lighting and get a nice camera and take a picture.
That way
it's a nice quality picture. So it doesn't look like somebody took it with their cell phone from 1930.
I was going to ask, have you ever been to TFU.info?
Yeah. I'm saying, there's...
They have a big, big list of stuff with all the parts and stuff.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, photographs with it.
And it's not complete. TFU's not even complete.
Yeah, it's...
Like, I mean, these books here have great pictures and great breakdowns, but most of them don't show you every single solitary bit that go to it.
That's what I like about the trans manual is, I don't know if you can see this, but it has every part. It has the schematic of it. It tells you pretty much everything that was on the box, and it even tells you variations of the toy at the time. So,
and how far does that go? That goes from what year to what year?
Transmanual 1 goes from 84 to 86, and Transmanual Volume 2 is 87 to 1990.
Wow.
They had, I believe, they had another one for Beast Wars, but I can't remember. I can't remember if it was...
Beast Wars is pretty easy, though. Whatever part is not there and beast mode is the part you're missing.
Yeah, but they had a lot of missiles, though.
That's understandable, but I mean, take for instance, I know you haven't been there yet, Cyburn, but Acme Comics, when I go in there to go look around inside their parts bin, you go in there, and they've got literally a sack about that big. Yes, and
how big is that?
About that big. Literally about this big around, that's full of nothing but missiles and parts to Beast Wars figures. Now, you try digging through that to find that specific missile that goes to that specific Transformer without remembering every little teeny tiny bit.
What you doing tomorrow? You want to go to a comic store?
I would, but I've got class. I actually have class with the weekend, which sucks.
Loser.
Whatever.
I'm going to get an education.
I'm going to get an education. I'm going to make movies. What are you going to do?
Make money.
I write software.
Hey. Whatever, man. I know you're working on aircraft, so I understand. It's an engineering degree, pretty much.
I got a degree in marketing. obviously it didn't do me very well, but.
Well, it's all about, honestly, I mean, and that goes into, like,
you gotta be a pimp.
I'm not Swage.
God damn right you aren't.
I mean, it's all about preference. Some people.
My use of the word aren't. It's up to you.
Well, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, some people, you know, they'll go to school for a certain thing, and then they'll get out of school, and then they'll just find out there's nothing that's going to fall into anything they want to do, so they just dump into whatever kind of job they can get. Or some people actually land a job they enjoy, and then they don't care about the degree or anything like that. But
that's a fairy tale. That is all lies.
Some people do that.
No, they don't. Stop. Stop with that.
My wife has actually went to school for accounting. She'll have her master's in less than a year.
Oh, that's terrible.
And, yeah.
I feel sorry for her.
Yeah, me too. It's a boring job, but, you know, it kind of fits the personality, so. Yeah.
What's her master's name?
Chad. But she actually got a job with an accounting firm that she starts in the end of January, and it's actually a pretty good job, and the guy's actually looking to grow his business, and he's starting with her. So, you know, that's awesome.
He's looking to grow his firm with your wife?
Yes, he's looking to grow his firm with my wife.
Well, this now that we have totally derailed.
Round.
Anybody else? Hey, how about your family members, Plasticon? I haven't heard much on your side.
He doesn't have anything.
He has kids, that's it.
That's partially true.
You have kids is partially true?
No, I do. I do have two kids. Me and my girl, we got a six-month-old and a six-year-old. He turns seven.
When you say you and your girl have kids, that means, like, not one of your kids is a girl. You mean, like, a separate outside of the family?
We got two boys. Okay. We got two boys. But, yeah, I mean, I go to school. She goes to work to help take care of the kids. It's pretty much what I do.
She like to party? She like to get down?
Every now and then. We don't really do that much anymore because just too many things going on, especially having two children running around. It's
what about the kids? They, you know, dabble and partying a little bit?
Well, one of them tries to because he tries to get out of doing homework and crap like that. But
you need a babysitter? This sounds like a guy I can connect with. I'd be like, look, dude, there's this guy named Chad, all right? All you're going to do is crack on his mom, and then we're going to go get some hookers and do some homework. What do you think? Is he up to the task? I think he'd like it. Kids love me, bro. They're like, man, this guy's awesome. He threw me off the top of a roller coaster. I love Uncle Mike. He's awesome.
Well, apparently we lost Chad. I don't know what happened there. Probably lost connection. But yeah,
I
enjoy being a dad. People complain about it, you know, and I'm like, you know, when you get around my age, you're like, you know what, it's okay to have kids. And then when you get older, it's like, I'm glad I had kids.
Cause it's like, who else is gonna think all these toys are so awesome?
I mean, who was this toy catered to back then? It wouldn't cater to no adult. It was supposed to go to some child, but now look, all of us man children are buying toys now.
That's right. That kid could get a job.
Screw damn it. 80s. Just kidding. We all love the 80s, but, you know. It's just...
I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed that Chad disappeared. It's really not as funny to crack on him when he just falls off.
Yeah, no, he fell off.
That yellow shirt, I mean, he just looked like a big pimple with a little hit on it. I kept thinking if I went like that, it would just... So if you're listening, Chad, the death match never ends. It's always on. You're screwed. And your wife is growing firmness on her at her job. Not my fault. That one actually isn't my fault, dude. Like, you can't be mad at me for that.
No, he did kind of say that. But, I mean, it's like, I understand what he's talking about. It's cool that, you know, you get out of school and you land a job with somebody that's pretty successful. It really helps. But You know, not everybody's that fortunate. It happens. But
every, you just got to choose the right one, degree.
And my
software
whole thing is
kids,
like, look,
it's a smart thing to go for.
My whole thing's like, look, everything in the world happens for a reason. There's a reason why somebody meets somebody else and something works out a certain way. Some people just try to go against it all. They're like, oh, I can't handle this. I can't do this. I can't do this. And then they pass up all these opportunities.
Hold on.
10 years down the road, they kick yourself in the ass. And it's like, well, what did I do?
I think we forgot about toys.
Right. But, I mean, you got to think, there's people that, honestly, it even goes into collecting. Think about it. How many times was it like you had the money, you could have bought this awesome toy, but you passed it up because you had something else you wanted to do, and now it's 10 years down the road. It's like, good, I could have got that thing for like...
You're talking to a guy that's like 19 years old. 10 years ago, he was like, man, I want to buy some Cheetos.
19, 25.
Oh, my. I'm so sorry.
Okay, so when he's 15, yeah, I'm sure, you know.
But 10 years ago, and second, like, I don't like Cheetos. They're gross.
You're gross. Fuck shit about Cheetos, I'll kill you.
Cheetos are awesome.
Yeah, seriously. There's a reason fat kids around the world swear by them. And it's not because Cyberg hates on them, all right?
I was
cheesy poofs.
Fuzzy head.
I'm fat enough, but I've never liked Cheetos.
That's your problem. See, you're walking around with Grams. You know, I bet Grams does not hate Cheetos. Okay.
I don't know.
What if Chester Cheetah was a Transformer? And don't say Cheetor. I mean, we got to give him a character name. What's Chester Cheetah's Transformer name?
Fangro.
We need a new one. We need a new one.
Damn, that's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
The Star. I know you don't want it to look like Cheetor when he transforms either. We should make him a combiner.
What if we turn him into a Thundercat instead?
That would be awesome if you had like 5 Thundercats that combine together that makes freaking Chester Cheetah.
It'd be Cheeto Voltron. It'd be Cheeto Voltron.
Cheeto Voltron, weapon? That's awesome.
Instead of the blazing sword, what's it gonna be? Like a big Frito?
It's a blown up version of the Snarl's club from Animated. The big Cheeto club.
The Cheeto shtick.
I say he does. He's the first reverse Cheetor, where the cat head ends up on his butt, bottom. And the cat butt ends up on his chest.
So when you transform it, it's like you literally like flip the cat head here. You just flip it around, and then this actual robot head comes off. And it's like it pops out of it, and his tail flies back.
His tail. Yes, he has a ponytail.
That would
his
be
tail
like the
just goes
worst
off the back
thing
of his
ever.
Head.
Most parents would be like, "You're not getting that. His head just came out of its ass."
You realize I just came up with the single best and worst toy line ever, which would be like. Cereal and snack mascot Transformers. You know, and Michael, you know, Cyburn would like this because you got, you know, the Fruit Loops bird, you got the Trix rabbit. This is all Beast Wars, man. You got
Dude,
Chester.
That would be actually pretty damn awesome if you could come up with something like that. And what would be cool is if they would all, like, combine together and it makes a big-ass cereal box.
Yeah, that I like. I do like. Or like a bowl with a spoon coming out or something.
Actually, it'd be kind of cool. When you buy them, they're like built into like this box, and this box looks like a cereal box. But you're able to like when you pull them out of the packaging, they come out in like a freaking cereal box container, and they're like wrapped inside, and then they're like right smack dab in the center. When you put them back in, they're like fills in the pitcher.
It sounds like something that Takara would totally do. If only they had Kellogg's in Japan.
Dude, that would be so cool, though. You think about it. That'd be badass. You could do that with, like, so many things. With, like, Lucky Charms leprechaun.
You're welcome, world. You're welcome. All right, so what do you think?
More that stuff.
Hour 20? getting a little off topic here. I think it's time to rag on Chad some more. Or do we want to wrap it up?
Well, I guess I'm not pressed for time, but I don't know if you guys are or not. I know Sadborn here, he's pretty tired.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get a hang of this work
thing. Tired in his young age.
I'm still trying to get a hang of this work thing.
Yeah. Swager's a drunk.
Having to wake up earlier.
I'm still trying to get a hold of Grams. What are you talking about? Hey, yo, Grandmama! Pick up your bras! Get off my floor!
You want your grandmother's number? Give me
1-900 makes a lot. You know, Duran is gonna edit all of this out.
I doubt it. But we also started talking about something crazy, which I'm pretty sure he's thought about stuff like that too. I mean, it'd be awesome to just have like just random things like a pencil that turns into a robot, or you know, Japan comes up with some of the craziest crap because you know I've seen those. They're like knockoffs, but they're like a refrigerator that turns into a robot and stuff like that. It's like we need more of that. Why don't we do that? Like make a toilet turn into a robot. That'd be hilarious. Or a porta potty.
Well, see, they can't make that one because Toxitron is already copyrighted.
I'm Potamus.
Potamus Prime.
No, it's Potamus Maximus.
That's a for real shark.
Ultra Potamus. It was the white repaint.
That would be awesome, though. Oh, my God. Oh, that would be so funny. I mean, I love that idea because it's like, you know, they had it right, like, back in the day with Microman and made, like, you know, guns that turned into robots and it had, like, these radios and cassettes and it's like they could have kept going with that. Make, like, an 8-track player that does that. Make a record that turns into something weird, like a freaking bass or something for the little robots or something. Do stuff like that. It's cool. We need more play sets. I mean, this thing's cool, but we need more of these.
Plasticon's raging.
Roar! Give me more play sets.
Have you seen these coming out of Japan? It's what? Only slightly derailing.
Slightly? Uh-oh.
They transform. I mean...
Oh, they're like... Oh, they're like Godzilla Egg series.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool.
They transform. And I want all of them.
That's pretty neat. I'm going to go ahead and screen share this thing for our viewers. It's pretty interesting. It's a Godzilla egg thingy. Full Do they actually have Godzilla? Or is it just...
Yeah, I've sent several links. They have Gigan, Godzilla, King Ghidorah, Mechagodzilla, and Mothra.
That's pretty awesome.
Those look like road biscuits to me. Just saying.
Those are kind of neat, though.
I love Godzilla.
That's a great idea.
They are just, like, corny, like, novelty.
It's pretty awesome, man.
Stuff that's going to be, like, extremely collectible later on because everyone thought it was stupid and no one bought it, and so they all got thrown away into a landfill.
That's usually what happens, and then somebody picks up these, like, obscure toys, and then they end up on eBay selling for ungodly amounts of money. I've seen a lot of, like, a lot of toys from, like, the 60s and early 70s that get on there, like the poppies and stuff like that, and a lot of people don't realize those things are very collectible, and most of that stuff is like what inspired Diaclone and Transformers. So, I mean, even Machine Robo inspired Transformers, for God's sake. So you can't really complain. You really can't.
I can complain.
Go ahead. Let's hear you complain.
No, I can't do it because you made me.
Oops.
Hate the show. I'm going to play with my stupid bomb shock that I can't figure out because I'm a moron. Can't do a PCC.
Why don't you find a YouTube video?
I want a Transformers podcast. I can't get past the level 2 scout. Check me out. I can't, however, have sex with
collect 3 Transformers.
So, whatever. Which actually does pay a little bit better. So, thanks. Yeah. I'm still a little hurt about this thing. I can't lie. I'm hurt by Bombshock here. Thanks, Faded Lazarus. Great deal. The most complicated scout figure ever. God.
Come on.
And you wonder why? And you wonder why I normally only collect Generation 1. Because I don't like overcomplicated things.
It ain't that bad.
It can't Whatever. Be.
It is that bad.
It's not.
There's a reason I collect cassettes.
All
right.
Oh,
I love slapdash. It doesn't turn into a box.
Actually, you know what? I would like to talk about cassettes for a minute here, because you know what? One thing that I have to say I love about cassettes is, you know what makes them unique?
They fit into a cassette player.
No. They have, compared to basically any other type of figure, they have no kibble anywhere. I mean, the only drawback is that the weapons pop off. Other than that, there's no extra crap on any of them.
You want to go back to the pre-Beast Wars definition of kibble, that actually means the bits that come off and are set to the side.
Well, I'm just talking about the new generalized, you know, the extra...
But yeah,
and
they don't have anything hanging off of them for no good reason.
Yeah.
Because it couldn't go anywhere else.
Yeah. And they really, you know, whatever, cassettes are the bomb. I'll kill you. Shut up.
Yeah, I can agree with him on that. I mean,
I've never held a cassette.
There's quite a few that, like, I mean, there really is no kibble that come off those, because you think about all the ones that have been created, like, even in the last few years. I mean, some of them have some kind of kibble that's odd. Like, I mean, take Hoist and Trailbreaker, for instance, when you get those. That thing that comes up on the back, that thing should, like, have an ability to fold down when it's in vehicle mode, but it doesn't. It just still sticks straight the hell up. I should have done that or just let it plug on and off. Would have been better. You know, a lot better. I'm like, that's
Skull him, Plasticon. Skull him.
Well, it's not so bad on Trail Cutter, because he has the camper that goes on the back of the truck, but it definitely looks weird on voice.
Right, and I understand what they were trying to do there. You know, it's an homage to G1, but come on, you could have made that like a removable thing, or made it like fold up inside or something. There's really no reason why they couldn't have put one more joint in that and just made it fold down. I just find it kind of odd that they wouldn't do that. But, I mean, it's like you were saying. I mean, there's a lot of kibble that comes off a lot of these things, and he's absolutely right. A lot of those, I haven't seen one Generation 1 cassette that looks weird, that's got kibble hanging off either mode. There's really none. Okay, you got weapons, but weapons are weapons. I mean, 90% of these Transformers nowadays, you really don't have a place to put the gun. What do? You plug it onto the side of it, or you plug it in on the top, or it ends up in a damn Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
And that's why half the guns get lost.
They all plug into their beast mode.
That's true. And, I mean, a lot of the car modes and stuff like that, you know, they do modernize. It's like, why couldn't they integrate the weapon somehow into that mode? Which, you know, Trail Cutter and Hoist do a pretty good job with their weapon, but that silly thing that sticks up on the back, I know it's supposed to be like a force field emitter or something like that for Trail Cutter, but Hoist never had one of those things. And, I mean, it was there.
He has it there.
It was there, but it was never like...
It wasn't as prominent.
No, and nobody really knew what the hell it was, or nobody really even used it on him. So it's like some extra thing sticking off his back. It's like a freaking tumor or something.
Bad on a Saturday morning.
That's where his voice actually comes out.
It's true.
Hey, actually, since we're in a hateful mood now, it's not, I don't know if it counts as kibble, but the one thing that kills me about Prime that I think actually made me hate all of the toys was I got the Megatron, like the Voyager, whatever the hell they call Voyagers, mm-hmm. and his head, it pops out, like when he's a spaceship, you can see his head, like you can see his eyes and everything. I was like, this toy is gorgeous, but you turn him into a ship and you can see his little head popping up like a Duplo.
Yeah, that's if they've been doing that since the first Bay movie. His head just been sitting there like, it's like, I like to picture like when he transforms into vehicle mode, that there's a tiny little chibi Megatron with just Megatron's normal size head, but a tiny body driving it.
It's freaking hilarious. Like the tank mode or whatever it was, his like face is like right in between like the two gigantic H-tank freaking rollers up front, and I'm like,
that's crazy.
Okay, that's crazy, but no, that's like freaking visible head syndrome to the max. That's like Armada Sideswipe. Think about that one. That thing, you want to talk about Kibble City. Oh, my God. That thing is, like, hideous. I mean, I don't mind Armada, but that's, like, the worst character out of all of them. It's got these gigantic chunks supposed to be freaking arms.
He was terrible. He was
like
definitely terrible.
20 freaking gimmicks shoved into this one toy, and the entire toy suffered because, oh, we need more gimmicks. Why? I never understood the whole car front end lunge thing. It's like,
there's too much robot in this gimmick.
Exactly. We need less robot, more gimmick. Can we make it a parts former? No, they hate parts formers. We can't do that. If we hated parts formers, none of us would love Omega Supreme or Power Master Prime. And that's the truth. And most of us do.
Says I love them.
Whatever.
Come on. You knew Cyber was going to say that.
Don't put
words. You don't turn into a mosquito. I hate that shit.
I've never had one, so I don't know. I might like them. I might not. Who knows? Too young.
Did you hear that? That was so cute. I'm too young to know such fate.
I'll tell you what, the next time I run into another Power Master Prime, I'll pick one up and send it to you, and then you'll tell me where you hate it or not.
I'm going to hate it for you.
It's literally a block of plastic, but I mean, it's freaking cool. And it's heavy.
Do you have the X-Overview one?
Your dog gets mad, you can throw it at him and it'll knock him out. What?
Hey, do you have the X-Overgen trailer?
No, I do not.
Oh,
I thought about getting that, but honestly, I really don't have the space for it. And then I saw that they came out with the Godmaster, or the... God.
What, Boomer?
Yeah, Boomer. They came out with that add-on to it, and I'm like, that thing does look cool. And what's crazy about it is you can take your G1 Prime or your Power Master Prime and plug it into the chest, and it works. I'm like, that's just nuts.
Yeah, I thought it only worked with the classic mold.
Works with all three. You can take your G1 Optimus Prime and fold him up just like you do the Power Master, which is where they got the idea for the Power Master Prime. You can take out the one and stick it in there, and it works.
Huh? Yeah, I still got to take out the TFC Primars, the Nemesis Primars, and slap that jetpack on there. I don't know. Like I'm kind of in between on. If I like a jetpack better or like that weird trailer, because to me it's like if it's a trailer, it should look like more like a trailer, not like a big, huge armored battalion thing.
it shouldn't look like Mad Max.
I like the jetpack because, you know, it's for the robot mode, but it doesn't make him like ridiculously bulky. It makes him just look more badass. And that X-Overgen, I'm real on the fence. I'm like, man, I wouldn't mind trading for one. But I'm like, that's a lot of bulk to keep up with right there. But I was just wondering if you happen to have one and have any input on that.
No, I haven't.
Because of course, you know, I have the United Convoy, the black, and they're making the black X-Overgen version as well. Uh-huh. So it's kind of like before that popped off, I'd like to see, hear some input on either one. Because you know that jetpack is sweet, and I love the little SD guy. Because the only thing super deformed I've had before is like a Choro Q Soundwave. And, you know, it's cool, you know, especially because I'm a cassette and Soundwave collector.
Right.
Otherwise, like, that's not a line I would continuously follow. But I actually really like that little TFC dude.
Speaking of which, did you see that third-party blaster they're coming out with?
Yeah, actually, I retweeted that and put that on my Facebook thing for Reeled Robot. Yeah, the purple and like grayish black proto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that looks cool, but I'm interested to see the size on it and if they're going to come out with their own cassettes.
I'd rather just have a real blaster.
Well, yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to see, you know, Hasbro, since they came out with, you know, Soundwave.
They did a
give
blaster.
Give us a blaster. Why don't they? Well, they didn't do like a masterpiece one. That's the thing. Yeah. There was no masterpiece blaster. No, well, that would be an interesting thing to do because
that'll probably come eventually.
Yeah, well, they have to. I mean, especially going San Diego Comic-Con route, they always follow one with the other. You know, 09 was Soundwave, 2010, Blaster with the three cassettes. You know, they kind of shortchanged it, but, you know, you still got a reissue Blaster, which, you know, the American market hadn't really seen.
Right.
Because the other one they had was the TFC collection. So, which actually, point of interest, actually comes with a sweet variant of Steeljaw. It has darker legs than the normal Encore reissues. Just the thought from the Reeled Robot, just letting you know, in case you're into crazy stuff.
Nice. Yeah, I've been trying to figure out, like, if they were to, like, do, like, a masterpiece blaster, would it be actually in scale with that sound wave? Or are they going to make blaster bigger?
Yeah.
I would actually love it if they made them, like, the same size, so that way you can actually legitly pose them in, like, a battle or something.
They're going for cartoon accuracy. So, I mean, they were both the same size.
Yeah.
Well, they were both about the same size in the show, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
So they should be. Yeah, they should be the same size if they make a masterpiece. Now I need to get a masterpiece Soundwave on the thought of getting a masterpiece Blaster, because I've always liked Blaster and Soundwave.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome, and I like, you know, I do like Twincast, and I do like Sound Blaster. I've got them all, and I love those toys, and it's like, it'd be interesting to see them do, like, you know, a twin cast in Masterpiece.
Yeah,
also.
And actually,
that thing would be nuts in those colors, too.
If anybody happens to have a Blaster but doesn't want to shell out Masterpiece money, there's a guy on TFW, Mega Moon Man. He actually 3D prints joints for Blaster, so you can actually have elbow articulation with that guy. Which, obviously, a Masterpiece, that's all you would really be getting extra, except other than maybe some extra bulk. But he makes a little kit. I think it's in the $20 range.
Mm-hmm.
You just take apart the arms, pop in the elbows, and you can, you know, he'll actually not just be like, you know, flat shoulder like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll actually be able to bend his elbows up and down a little bit. You know, you can angle some guns. Comes with, like, a microphone and something else, I think. But he's always kept up something with cassettes. Usually, like, he makes rat bat ears, rat bat weapons, and stands, you know, like for Ravage and Steeljaw, all the crappy ones that always fall over. He makes some cool stuff. So, you know, if you don't want to wait for a Masterpiece, I mean, the G1 Blaster is damn near as tall as the Masterpiece Soundwave. It's shorter, but, you know, it's kind of close. So, you know, you don't want to shell out $150 for a Masterpiece. You can just get some articulated joints from a dude on TFW there.
That's pretty awesome. I didn't know that there was somebody actually making add-on bits for that. Because I really like add-on bits for Generation 1 figures. Because, like I talked earlier, I have that expansion pack for G1 Prime, and I bought the expansion pack for my Devastator. I like those expansion packs. I think they're pretty neat. And I've been debating on getting the expansion pack for Omega Supreme, because it gives him those shoulder wings that he doesn't normally, that he actually has in cartoon, that he doesn't actually have, and it also changes his face, which is pretty neat. So
yeah.
I debate on actually doing that, because my G1 Omega is not in the best condition, so I wouldn't be afraid to actually do the upgrade kit to him, because I'll eventually get like an actual one. I mean, I'm not going to do it to my my E-Hobby Guardian up there. He's pristine, so I'm not going to do anything to him.
I would hope so. He's only like a year old.
He's awesome, though. He really is.
Yeah, actually, 3D printing is actually going to be like the craziest shit anybody's ever seen pretty soon. I mean, you see Shapeways is taking off quite well, which I thought was mind-blowing when I first started collecting. You know, and you got this cat, Mega Moon Man, and, you know, there's other guys that are doing this kind of stuff, and I know of a couple other that are going to be more specialized in what they do.
Well,
I know Mega Moon Man, I mean, he makes all kinds of stuff, and he's real open to suggestions, you know, like the Rat Bat ears, I think, might have come from someone else. And, you know, because the weapons are so hard to find as well, he started making the weapons. And, you know, it's at-home 3D printing stuff. It's not going to be like a resin prototype. But for what you're paying for, I mean, it's an awesome, awesome deal. But he also makes, you know, all kinds of stuff. He came out with a kit for the Deluxe Springer that came out to give him the third mode. You know, gave him wheels and, like, all this other extra crap. He came out with a Metroplex ramp and other extra stuff for the Encore and as well as the Generations one. But that's going to be something that is just going to be ridiculous in the coming years. I mean, it might not be in the next 3 years, but 3D printing, I mean, that could go the way of the cell phone or just having a laptop or a printer in your house.
Right.
I want some coasters. You know, boom, I pay, you know, $3 for the material. I make myself some coasters.
Right. I've done a lot of research on the 3D printing thing, and they have a printer called an Up Mini that only costs like $1,000. It's $1,000 for a 3D printer that you can have in your home, and it's like $50 for like a spool of ABS. And that's it. And you can literally like crank out whatever the heck you want to on this thing, and you do this in your house.
There's 3D printers that can replicate anything, any material right now. Like they can make silk clothes out of 3D printing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and it feels the same. And actually, a friend of mine was telling me he looked up some stuff, and he was finding people making comic books. And he said he actually held one in his hand, and he said the only way you can tell the difference between a comic from the 50s and a 3D printed one was the smell of the ink.
That's
so
crazy.
I'm like, that's insane. And not only that, but as collectors, we need to watch out for that, because if they can 3D print a comic to that accuracy, how much G1 stuff are we going to see? How much new, you know, how many rip-offs of everything in the world there could be?
Well, my whole thing is, like, if there's guys out there wanting to do this stuff, 3D stuff, the best market to dump into if you're going to do anything for, like, vintage collectors for G2, is anything that's gold plastic. Completely replace all that with that cool ABS, and people will buy it. Like, I want an Electro that's not going to explode. That thing is solid gold plastic. You buy one, you get it, and it's going to be nothing but, like, dust when you get it home. Right. And I would love to see somebody reverse engineer that damn thing and make it so it's a legit toy and release it back out on the market so people can buy it.
Yeah.
And get rid of the rubber band waste thing. Like, make something better for that.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, it's probably going to be anything you can think of, though. You know, the toy market is always a weird thing, but, I mean, even that, you know, you never know. Some crazy dude that's been behind the scenes for years, you know, just doing a custom here and there might end up with a 3D printer and be like, hey, you know what, I'm going to remake every single thing ever made. Because every time he makes enough to make something else, and he can kind of double up, triple up, whatever, you know, he might just be like, the hell with it. You know, I mean, it's not like they're going to know where it's being made.
That's true.
It'll just be, hey, I have one. He's not going to have to advertise that.
You know, That's very true. Because, I mean, think about it. Anybody that has like an eBay account, if you know how to build anything on 3D printing, like, say somebody needs, like, a knob for their stove, for God's sake. This guy could go, like, oh, I work at, like, you know, some electronics store, and it's consistently, like, you know, they're getting in ranges and stuff like that. How do you know the guy is going to go back there in the back in the warehouse and find an old beat-up stove that they haven't put on the sales floor because it's all beat up, yank the freaking knobs off of it, take it home, trace out all those knobs and make it so that they get the actual dimensions, bring those knobs back, and then turn back around and go home and print out a ton of them, and then he'll turn back around and mass produce the things and sell them on eBay and make a ton of money off these things. It's just a knob for a stove.
It's potential. I mean, you know, everything is knocked off in the world right now anyway.
Yeah.
You know, DVDs, CDs, computers, computer accessories, cars, tires, you know, there's generic tires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, carpet, anything you can think of is already being ripped off. This just provides an opportunity to do it better.
And actually get a quality out of it, too.
It sucks for entrepreneurs, but then it creates entrepreneurs at the same time. Ethical or not, it's an opportunity for everybody in the market.
Exactly. I mean, anybody that's like a major collector out there, and they're like, oh, you know, you have like 20 or 30 people are always like bombarding you with these questions of, oh, where can I get this gun, or where can I get this, or where can I get this, and you happen to sit there and be the collector that actually has those, and it's like, why don't I just take down the dimensions of this thing, put it in the program, print them out 3D, paint them, and sell them. And people do that. They already do that. They do this stuff with resin molds, too. Resin's really, it's an okay thing to mess with, but you got to be more careful with it. But if you can do a 3D printing, it's ABS plastic. It's not going to break. It's the same crap that you got here in your hand.
Yeah. The only thing with ABS, it's so much more expensive than what you could print off 100 things with. So
right.
We may see mass flooding of crap, but we might see awful quality still.
That's true. I mean, I was looking around on Shapeways because, you know, you brought that up earlier, and I found a ramp for Generation 1 Metro Titan, and you can order it in the black color that you want. So that simple little ramp that 90% of those collectors out there that have a Metro Titan that needs one, you go to Shapeways and you pay like, yeah, it might be $25 for the damn thing, but that's a lot cheaper than trying to find it on eBay because somebody's going to want like $100-something for that stupid little chunk of plastic that's that big.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's crazy what might be coming out, you know? I mean, all the sweet stuff we see now could just be nothing compared to what we see next. Right. Especially when you see, you know, like I remember when I first started getting serious into collecting, I had seen a couple of Soundwave customs. And, like, I just wanted to cry myself to sleep because I'm like, how do people come up with this crap? I mean, these things were amazing with lights and just all these weird accessories, and they're selling for, you know, ridiculous money. And I'm just like, those guys have such a great opportunity, you know, because they actually have a talent to build. And now they're going to have an opportunity and a resource to have material that they can manipulate in any way they want. They don't have to go on the boards and trade for a piece or overpay for a figure they only need three parts of.
Right.
So, I mean, it could be a downside, but I think as far as, like, seeing upgrades and seeing original or just mind-blowing custom work, like, we could see, like, a crazy, crazy expansion in the next couple of years.
Exactly. I mean, it's like those the makers of the that new biomechanical
BMOG, yeah.
BMOG, yeah, yes, BMOG. Well,
they got their Kickstarter successful.
Yeah, they got the Kickstarter, which is awesome. But the thing is, a lot of people don't know. The guy from BMOG used to work for Hasbro. He's not working for him anymore. So what do you do? Creates his own toy line.
Right.
And that just shows you, like, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're at. If you actually have the engineering and the know-how to get anything done, you can do what you want. You can put your mind to. So yeah, my whole thing is, don't stop because you got an idea. You got an idea, pursue that thing. The more you pursue it, you'll eventually get it to work. It's just, it's persistence, and that's what he's done. And it's awesome because I've seen so many other prototypes that they actually have that they're wanting to do, like a laser beak and all these crazy things. I'm like, yes, those are awesome. I could build my own robot out of a bunch of weaponized parts and then break all those weaponized parts down and put them all in my Transformers hands. And it's just awesome because you don't, okay, I don't have like the real gun to this guy. Okay, cool, I got BMOG. Well, guess what? I can put two rifles in his hands now because I bought a BMOG Ion that, oh, well, if I'm putting him in vehicle mode, put him in vehicle mode, and oh, look, take the little weapons off and plug them all into the little bear thing, and you got a little bear guy to go with him. Coolest crap ever. That's what needs to be more. We need more of that. That's what we need.
I'm surprised, Sideburn, you haven't, have you been watching the BMOG stuff? I mean, especially with their first images being, you know, kind of Beast Wars-ish. What are you thinking about those?
I looked at it once when there wasn't a lot of images. I think it's a good idea. I mean, I'd much rather pay for third-party weapons than, you know, complete third-party figures. But just, you know, having the weapons also combine into a little figure, because, you know, you always, the question is, what do you do with the weapons when you take them off the figures and transform them?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's definitely a clever idea. and, you know, make them look a little bit like, you know, make one look like Ravage, and you got a more incentive there for people to buy it. But I've always liked third-party weapons, and I sort of miss the days of third-party where almost every third-party accessory was a new weapon, and it wasn't, you know, the third-party wasn't their own figure lines, because, you used to get some really cool upgrades for your Hasbro figures that would, you know, sometimes make them worth more than they originally were.
Like the Bruticus, like Fans Projects Bruticus.
Yeah.
That thing is phenomenal. They come out with two figures. It comes with a crap ton of add-ons that makes all your figures better. That's where, honestly, third party needs to go back down that route, because not everybody's gonna shell out $500 for an entire combiner.
Well, that's like, and I've always said, you know, I would probably, in a heartbeat, buy a weapons pack that gave, gave Transmetal's Rat Trap his gun. Yeah, there were a lot of guns in Beast Wars that, you know, the figures didn't come with. If it just had some of those guns in a pack, I would buy that. I bought the Unicron.com animated upgrade set that came with some stasis cuffs. You know, it had Ratchet's magnets and Sari's key and the Allspark, and that was, you know, I love that set because it adds a little bit to the figures I have, you know, makes them look closer to the cartoon in the case of Ratchet. And, you know, I paid, I don't know, $20 for that maybe. And, you know, I like third party add-ons as weapons better than I do third-party figures.
Right. I mean, it's like I bought that Junkion Blacksmith, and, you know, I used the Headmaster for my Power Master Prime. And then I bought the little bitty candy toy Target Master Prime, and just throw it in his hand, and now he's a Headmaster, Target Master, Power Master Prime. That's like the coolest crap ever. And
okay, so you said you bought a Junkion kit and it included a Headmaster?
Yeah.
No, it's a Junkion Headsmith.
It's Junkion Blacksmith.
Or Junkion Blacksmith.
Okay.
Optimus
Prime. I thought you were talking about the Lucky Rogers Junkions and all that. Okay.
Now those add-on kits for all the Junkions, those were cool. I liked those because it's like I got a Classics. I got four of the same Classic. They've all got the same head sculpt. Well, guess what? You buy an add-on kit and you swap out all the heads and add these little chest pieces and stuff, and it makes them different, which is cool because you got a whole bunch of unique ones.
I was also a fan of replacement heads.
Right.
If they did more of that stuff now like they used to, I would be more into it. But third parties burnt its bridge with me because it's like it's too expensive. It's, I want to support Hasbro because they actually make Transformers, and third-party stuff's not going to be worth anything in the future.
Honestly, like I think Fans Project is on to something though with those retro future bots, because they are combiners that can go with your Generation 1 toys. So anybody that's a G1 collector is like me is automatically going to jump on the boat, which I have, and those things are cool because they actually fit in with the aesthetic you're trying to go for, which will make those worth the money. But when you got an entire third-party combiner that falls into your Generations and Classics and stuff like that, most of those are going to fall to the wayside because most people will be like, I'm not going to spend that kind of money on that thing. I don't even know what the heck that is when I got like the original Devastator right here. What's the point in that thing? You know? And most people would rather shell out the money for an original Devastator versus a third-party. Honestly, because for the price of that Devastator, which is, you know, big and awesome, you've also got a Generation 1. And if you're lucky, you can buy a G1 and a G2 from within the same price point. as it costs for that one Hercules. And then
I'd rather shell out money for Energon Devastator than Hercules, to be honest with you.
Actually, I actually have Energon Devastator. I gave it to my son because he likes that kind of aesthetic, and they stick together and are fun to play with, and he loves it. It's a great toy. It's awesome. And it's not the best thing in the world, but at least it was a proper combiner. You know,
that was. You just said Energon Devastator was a proper combiner?
Well, it's an official proper combiner before.
They weren't bad.
But this is before, you know, your power core combiners where everybody is like, oh my god, that thing's hideous. And I'm like,
I didn't hate the Energon combiner. I mean, at least they did it right. You had a deluxe in the middle, you had some larger than average scouts as legs and arms. And, you know, they formed convincing enough legs and arms. I mean, they were repaints of each other, you know.
And they were Scramble City.
But at least it was...
You can actually combine, like, the Bruticus and the Superion. You can take the bits off and swap them around.
At least it worked and it was official.
And that's a big sell point for me, is if it's swappable. And if, I mean, honestly, to me, it's like, look, you buy Hercules, and then you get that Minasaur, and then you get the Superion. Dude, that right there takes up that much room right there. Like, literally that much room. Who's honestly got that much real estate in their house for that many combiners?
People that can afford every one of those gigantic expensive toys.
Right, and they probably have an entire wall that's nothing but shelves and glass casing that they could stick it on. And what they do is they put it together, then they stick it on the shelf, and do they ever touch it? No. They don't ever go in there and try to pose it. They put it together, and they leave it there.
Hey, don't be hating, man. That was my plan. I was planning on having two full walls of cassettes.
No, there's nothing wrong with that, dude, because you strike me as the kind of guy that would take down the cassette and actually transform it and play with it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I know people that buy those things, they transform it once, shove it on the shelf, and never touch it again. And it's pretty bad.
And I'm nothing, man. Like, some of the guys I know that are into cassettes, man, like, some of them don't collect them as hardcore as me, but they can create. You know, my dude Custrans, who's an awesome, awesome resource and a great friend of mine, you know, he actually makes custom cassettes. But, you know, there's a couple other cats in some groups that I'm in that, you know, they just for fun, they make, you know, they'll look back in the archives of just stuff that never popped up on shows or anything, and they'll make what is in that script that no one's ever seen. And, you know, that sucks for me, because trying to collect all the variants, that's one more I have to find, and there's only one in the world unless I make it myself. But it's just cool because, you know, there's so much random hidden, you know, at least for a casual type of guy, there's just so many random different things you can do. But, I mean, that's another cool thing that I love about cassettes is that even if I have a vintage one that's worth hundreds of dollars, I can still play with it. You know, like I can spread the wings on my Diaclone Condor, and I don't have to worry about it like I would, you know, an original Optimus Prime that I can't take out of the box. Or if I lose the fist, it's worthless. You know, I mean, I can find Laserbeak weapons because they're exactly the same as the Diaclones. Or, you know, the wings don't just snap off, the feet don't just snap off.
Right.
So that's my ramble on cassettes again, because that's my...
No, I completely agree with you on that, dude, because, I mean, it's like, you know, you buy, like, because that's the thing. A lot of people, you know, even if you got, like, the reissue Sideswipe from, like, the G1 stuff, there's bits on there that are slightly different from the original. And then you got the Diaclone, which is completely a different color scheme, and mm-hmm. it's hard... It really is hard to try to collect all those because, you know, when Hasbro took over the brand, they had swapped over all these color schemes, and you know that from all the cassettes. Hell, some of those cassettes never got the same color scheme in G1.
Yeah, so, and luckily they didn't make that many Diaclone cassettes that I know of. I mean, they're pretty limited as far as the variations of characters. It's just a matter, you know, of finding them in good condition.
Right, because you got some that have the die-cast feet, you got some that don't, you got some that are painted different, you got some that are stickered and non-stickered, some that are just...
Well, see, with the older stuff, though, it's pretty uniform. You know, the more the variations come out, they're, you know, once the Karen Hasbro jumped in is when it was really... that's when the variants were kicking out real hardcore. You know, the plastic and metal feet. And usually stickers and tampo isn't really that big of an issue. It's just knowing what you're looking at. Like I remember they had brought up which rat bat was tampo, which was stickered, and you know it crisscrosses back and forth. But you know, like you're not going to be looking for like 8 different tampoed rumbles. You know, if you're looking for a tampo, it's going to be rat bat, eject, rewind, and that super crazy rare buzzsaw. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, there's, like, overkill and stuff like that, but usually, like, if it's tampo, it's tampo. It's not, like, a big, huge mystery. But then, you know, there are other weird variations, like on the Rumble Frenzy stickers, some of them have a red stripe, some have a blue. And then going the older they go, they don't say certain words. They'll have something else, like my Diaclone Condor, I want to say, says Takara on it. The KO says cassette in writing, as opposed to Takara or, you know, the official ones don't really have that pronounced text. So, luckily, you know, once you get a couple in your hands, you kind of figure it out. But, you know, because I try to collect the variants that people don't think about that I was taught by, like, the walking god of freaking cassettes, which is Mellow Mutt. You know, he actually made a Google document that I was using kind of as a format for the website I wanted to make, but I wanted to make it visual. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's like, it's ungodly, you know, especially when he even has stuff in there that's speculated to exist, but no one can prove. You know, you know, you're talking about a steel jaw that has an orange front left paw, and it's an actual figure, but, you know, it's a factory error or whatever, but nobody knows. But some, you know, a few people have reported seeing it. They just couldn't get it. You know, stuff like that. Like, to me, that's a variant as well. You know, like, I go beyond. I have a tampo rat bat and a stickered rat bat. You know, I'm like, well, I got a rat bat that's tampo. I got one that's sticker. I got one that has different colored screws. I got one with, like, a mismatched foot. You know, crazy stuff that doesn't even make sense. It's a disease, really.
Well, it's understandable. I mean, because you know, you collect the cassettes, but I'm pretty sure you try to get all the different variants of Soundwave, different variants of Blaster. Mm-hmm. You got the Diaclone ones. Most of them literally played music through an AM radio, and on the back you press a button and it popped out and actually had like a cassette player in the back of it. That's why that thing's so huge, and most people don't know that. That's what the original was, and it was released in blue and black and red and gray, if I'm not mistaken. Or was it red and black?
I don't remember red and gray.
It might be red and black, though. Because I know there's a red variant as well. Because there's two different variants.
There's a blaster. It's more related
to Blaster. Blaster's the one I was talking about.
Right, okay. Yeah. There's have you seen the Cambots that actually look like the Diaclone Blasters? Mm-hmm. There's a couple guys that found some. Those are pretty wicked looking. They look like cameras, but they look just like Blaster. It's so weird.
Yeah, those things are weird. I've seen what the crazy thing is. A lot of people don't realize, you know, even as old as Diaclone was, there were earbuds back then, and that's what everybody's like, why the hell is there this huge hole in the middle of Blaster's cannon? And it's like, that's where the earbuds used to go, because you'd literally wrap the wire around the hilt of the stock of the gun.
Yeah.
That's what you would do. It's one of those things. I mean, a lot of people don't know all the little variants between this and that and the other. And same thing with Diaclone Devastator. There's tons of freaking variants of that thing alone.
Right. Yeah, honestly, I wish I'd have never learned. I mean, cassettes have cost me so much money. And then even, you know, somebody takes a quirky picture and you think it's a variant that it's not. I ran into that twice. And I even emailed the one guy. I said, look, man, I said, I've changed the lighting and my camera settings like 10 times, and I cannot get it to duplicate the picture that you sold this with. And he was just like, oh, well. And I'm like, no, dude, this was supposed to be like a variant. I have like 7 of these other ones. And he was just like, well, I don't know. It must have been a weird thing with the camera. I'm like, and, you know, you can't really argue, even though you could be like, look, I've manipulated my lighting and everything. This guy obviously just used a stock photo, but it's like, what's it really going to get you? You know, it's more of a hassle than anything.
Right.
That one specifically I was looking for, there's a very light blue rumble that is much, much more significantly lighter shaded blue than a normal one. Because, you know, a normal Rumble or Frenzy, whichever way you want to go, the blue, you know, there's a dark blue and a light blue, mm-hmm. like the baby blue, but there's one that is drastically lighter. And it's very, very noticeable. And in the picture, I saw it, and I immediately was like, that's the one I need. There's no other way it could look like that. But I ended up getting the regular one. So like, ah, I'll kill you.
Isn't that the same thing with Frenzy? Isn't there like a red one that's like a lighter hue of red as well?
I think there is, but I've never really looked for that one because it's like, it's harder to tell on that because it just kind of looks faded. Whereas on the blue one, it was like, I was familiar with it already. And then I think once I had the bad luck with that one, I was just like, forget it. You know, I'm not even going to chase that one yet unless I get it from someone who knows what it is. Yes. But I do know on Rumble, there's a couple quirks that are factory quirks, like backwards heads or the forearms not being the correct color. Just little stuff like that, but I'm not even going to start getting into that because we're already over 2 hours, so we can do cassettes for another 3 weeks.
That's understandable because, I mean, I've seen where, like, the like on Eject and Rewind where the colors of the the chrome's, like, either gold or silver. There's, like, a variant, I think, in that. I've seen.
Yeah, and some of them didn't even come with chrome. I actually have one that never had chrome applied from the factory, which I thought was actually really cool. It would have been sweet if it had Tampo on it, though, but, I mean, it was just something like that. I mean, I picked it up cheap from a buddy of mine, so I was just like, oh, that's cool. You know, it was another different one. Throw it in the pile.
Okay. Well, I think we should wrap this up. Appreciate you guys tuning in and checking everything out and listening to our cast. Like to thank Swage and Cyburn 2 and Chad, wherever the heck he went, for tuning in. And we missed you, Weird Wolf. Wished you were here. Hope you get better.
Do we?
Maybe
we
not.
Do.
Yes,
we do. Cyburn, we do.
We're supposed to. We're supposed to care about our host. But anyhow, you guys tune in next week, same time, same channel. We'll catch you guys later.
Have a good one.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.